Normally at this time, I would have one of our young men come up and read the scripture. That gives me a chance to put the lapel microphone on, or I get one of our not so young men to come up and read the scripture. I don't want to leave them out also. We're going to do something though different today. Instead of using a scripture as our beginning point, we're going to use a song. If you will, turn to number 469. 469. Once you get there, faith is the victory. I want you to notice right under the title is the scripture reference. Now, I feel quite sure the penman of this poetry that was put to music did not say that this song is based on Hebrews chapter 11, but someone did. And having sung this song many times before and having sung, we'll sing it today, we realize that this is based on faith. Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith. I want us to sing it. I want us to sing it remembering this is going to be the foundation of our lesson. And I want us to sing the three verses and the refrain only one time at the end of the third verse, 469. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind spread, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory, oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. I think it would be amiss if I did not make a few comments about our gospel meeting last week with Brother Freddie Anderson. Once again, he did a marvelous, marvelous job. We have some visitors here today that are here because they visited during the gospel meeting when Freddie was here. Now, if you have not heard me preach before, you're going to realize I use a completely different style than does Freddie. I speak at a completely lower volume than does Freddie. I don't have all of these wonderful little sermon colloquialisms. No, I missed the word. I don't have all these wonderful sermon phrases like that dog don't hunt like Freddie. But I'll be preaching the same truth. In fact, today our lesson is on faith. And I noticed that three of Freddie's lessons dealt specifically with faith. And unless I'm mistaken, in every sermon he at least mentioned faith. You know, faith is a sermon that all of us grew up with. We hear a lot of sermons about faith. In fact, I dare say faith is most preachers' second favorite sermon topic, second only to love. But we like to preach on faith. Brethren, I'm speaking for all of us. Thousands of times we've had the preacher remind us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thousands of times preachers have reminded us that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thousands of times we've been reminded that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in us all. And my favorite passage from the Old Testament that deals with faith has long been 2 Chronicles 20:20, have faith in the Lord our God. We hear Old Testament sermons on faith. Cain and Abel, one offered a sacrifice in faith, the other did not have faith. Cain had no faith, Abel did. Abel's sacrifice was accepted because of his faith. We talk about the faith of Noah, how Noah, because of his faith, built an ark to the saving of his house. We talk about the faith of Abraham, how Abraham left his homeland and sojourned waiting for that promise of God. We talk about the faith of Moses, how Moses went to Egypt and demanded that Pharaoh let the Israelites go. From the New Testament, we hear sermons about faith. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, because of their faith, left their nets and followed Jesus to become fishers of men. And we could go around the auditorium today naming dozens and dozens of other wonderful stories and incidences and verses that encourage us to develop a life-saving, a soul-saving faith. But there are also sermons in the Bible and verses and stories where the person did not display faith. Or for this lesson, let me say it this way. They did not put their faith into action. And therefore, the very first sermon, the first question in this sermon, I'm only going to ask two questions. The first question is, can we have faith and not put it into action? Can a Christian not display their faith? To hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful or faith-filled servant. Is it possible? Well, I could give you a one-word answer, extend the invitation. We could go home early. I'm certainly not going to do that. But according to the Bible, such is an impossibility. Faith is an action word. We must display our faith. Now, I don't want to be abrasive or derogatory. You know I am not that way. But brethren, Christians were not called out of the world just to come up and sit in this auditorium and listen to the preacher preach. We were not called out of the world just to come up here from time to time and sing a few songs, say a few prayers, observe the Lord's Supper and fellowship. Christians were not called out of the world to just listen to what's going on. We were called out of the world to do what Jesus tells us to do. John 14, 15. Really, he says the same thing in John 15, 14. If you love me. No, let's put it more personal. I love Jesus. You love Jesus. Jesus says if we love him, what? We'll do his commandments. Now certainly we enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy the worship together. We do teach and admonish each other in our singing. Hopefully I say something that will be entertaining and will edify your life. But we're called out of the world to be special. Special because we put our faith into action. Now, let me introduce the first of three texts. Our text is very familiar with all of us. Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, Jesus is talking to the disciples. And he gives them what we call the Great Commission. I want to read from the English Standard Version because in a moment I want to lift a few words out of that translation. So I'll be reading this passage from the English Standard Version. And Jesus came and said to them, that would be the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, the reason I chose that translation, and I agree with that translation, is to look at a few of these words. What do these five words have in common? Go, make, baptize, teach, and observe. What do they have in common? Well, if you majored in English in college, you're going to say they're all verbs, which is right. But more than just verbs, they're active verbs. Go shows action. Make shows action. Baptize shows action. Teach shows action. Observe shows action. Jesus is telling the apostles, you need to put into motion what I've been teaching you. You need to be active. You need to go and teach and make disciples, and you need to teach them to be active as well. Faith is an action word. If we are not showing our faith with our action, not trying to be abrasive, but we're not filled with faith. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. In other words, don't just listen to what Jesus says. Put it into our lives. Make it part of our lives. Do the things that he tells us to do. Now, we of course know that hearing is necessary. I already read Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But hearing is just not enough. Fortunately, I was not like this when I was a child. But my children, when they were still living at home, I could look them face to face and I would say, I want you to do something. And I would ask them, did you hear me? Yes, they did. 30 minutes later, 30 days later, they still had not done it. Now, I guess I am trying to be a little abrasive now. There are Christians in the world, at least by name, that know what the Bible says, know what Jesus wants them to do, but they don't do it. It's almost like Jesus saying, did you hear me? And they said, yes. But 30 minutes or 30 days or 30 months or 30 years or 30 lifetimes later, they still have not put it into action. Just listening to the story, just listening to the message, just listening to the gospel is not enough. We need to hear it and we need to apply it to our lives. What does the Bible say along these lines? It says, you go to your family, and you go to your friends, and you go to your neighbors, and you go to strangers, and you go to the world, and let them see Jesus alive in your life. And when they do, they will glorify the Father. And they will say, I want to know more about that person. I want to know more about Jesus, I want to know more about this salvation. That's what we have to do. Because, brethren, Jesus also said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that just calls him Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth, he that does, he that is doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. Yes, we need to know Jesus, but just acknowledging him is not enough. We've got to apply his teaching to our life. And now I introduce the second and the last question that we will ask. What is stopping us from doing what we know Jesus wants us to be doing? Now, I'm asking myself that question personally. You ask yourself that question personally. What are we doing? What am I doing to do, to accomplish what Jesus wants me to accomplish. Recently, I received an article via email, and a group of Christians somewhere were asked, what's holding you back from personal evangelism? That's really what we're talking about. And the number one answer was fear. Fear of not being well prepared, fear of not knowing the right answers, fear of failure. And brethren, I'll be perfectly honest with you. That fear is in my life as well. I also know what God wants me to do, but I don't want to fail. So sometimes I don't even try. I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't want to offend them. You know, we live in such a politically correct environment. You can't even say the truth anymore without some people being offended. I don't want to offend anyone. But Paul says, do I become someone's enemy if I'm telling them the truth? And the answer is no. Actually, we become their friend, and hopefully their brother or sister, by telling them the truth. But I think sometimes that Paul was writing about me in Romans 7:15. The wording is a little bit confusing. Let me paraphrase just a little bit. Paul says, I just don't understand what's going on. I know what's right, but when I look at yesterday, I didn't do what was right. I know what's wrong, but now I realize I have done things that are wrong. I just don't understand. Now, before we try to use fear as a justification for no working, let's also remember what he said in Philippians 4:13. This one is not difficult to understand. Though he said, I want to read it, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Paul told Timothy, a young Timothy, a young man, he said, God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of strength, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-discipline. And so the question, why are we not doing the things that we know that Jesus wants us to do? Let's look at that question and come from a different direction. I'm going to read Ephesians 2:10. I thought Keith was going to read that verse a moment ago, but I'm going to read Ephesians 2:10 in just a moment. Now, I want to introduce that verse by saying you and I should realize that God has created us for a specific reason. It's just not an accident that we're here. We were created for a specific reason. And since that is the case, God has given us the resources we need at our disposal to do these things. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now listen to what he concludes. Which God, those good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Brethren, God knew what he was doing when he created us. He knew the challenges that we would be facing. He knew the opportunities that would be presented. Don't you think that knowing that, God would supply us with the resources we need to accomplish what he wants us to do? Don't you think that? Well, fortunately, in this case, we don't have to think, because the Bible says he did. Peter's pen wrote, God has given us all things that pertain to life and all things that pertain to godliness. Now let's quickly move to our second text, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to read and I'm going to paraphrase as we go. Jesus calls the 12 together. He gives them power and authority to cast out demons, perform miracles, teach the gospel. He sends them out to preach. You remember, this is where he says, don't take anything extra. Don't take extra shoes or extra clothes. I don't think he mentions shoes, but don't take anything extra. And when you get to town, find somebody that'll house you and just stay there the whole time that you're there. And if no one in town will house you, then dust the dust off your feet. Therefore, it's kind of making a judgment on them. And when the disciples came back, they were amazed because they were able to perform these miracles. They were able to cast out demons. And of course, they were able to preach the gospel. Jesus gave his disciples authority and he gave them ability. He gave them his authority and he gave them ability to perform those miracles, to teach, spread the gospel, and so forth. He told them to go, and they went. Every village they went to, if they were received, they had a wonderful, successful meeting there. Brethren, do you realize that from Acts chapter 2 and forward, every Christian who has ever lived, including every one of us, has been given the same authority that those disciples were given by Jesus back there in Luke chapter 9? His authority. He's given us his authority. Now, maybe the ability that we have is different. But brethren, maybe our ability is superior because we have the written page. We have radio. We have television. We have billboards. We're going to have a new marquee one of these days out front. Maybe the ability is different, but maybe our ability can reach even more people than they did. But Jesus has told us to do the same thing that he told them to do. Go and do it. I'm telling you to do it. I've given you authority. I've taken care of the ability. Now go and do it. Brethren, God did not house his son's church with a bunch of nobodies. He housed his son's church with people that are willing and able and need to and must feel compelled to do the things that Jesus told us to do. Now, I chose the invitation song based on what I'm about to say. I believe Freddie in one of his meetings talked about following Jesus. And I think he said, I might have napped off there for a second. I don't think so. But I think he said, to follow someone means you're going in the same direction they go. I think he said something like that. Well, even if he didn't, to follow someone means we're going in the same direction that they would go. We're followers of Jesus. We need to go in the same direction that Jesus went. And we don't need any superstars. We need a bunch of Christians who will take up the cross and follow Jesus. We need Christians who will follow Paul, as Paul said he was following Jesus. We need to follow in his steps. Brethren, we don't need to be superstars. We have a superstar Father in heaven, a gracious, loving, ever to be adored Father, a wonderful Father, a glorious Father. We need to do what his son tells us to do. And we reach the conclusion. Our last text is from Matthew chapter 7. And this is such a familiar passage, I'm not even going to read it. Jesus tells a story about two men. He calls one wise, and I'm going to say one not so wise. But he identifies them at the first of his story and then tells the story. Why did Jesus call the wise man wise? Because he did what Jesus said. Jesus wanted him, and he did, dig down and find this solid foundation. Dig down and find Jesus and build your house or build your life on Jesus, the solid foundation. We'll get back to the storms in just a second. Why was the unwise man unwise? Jesus told him to do the same thing, but for some reason, apathy, nonchalance. He was too busy. He had too many other things to do. For some reason, he didn't dig down to the foundation. He built his house. He built his life on what we would call shifting sand. And the same rain came on both of them. And the same wind blew on both of them. But the wise man, because he built his life on Jesus, was able to withstand that storm. The unwise man did not, and his life did not. Now, brethren, all of us want to be wise. We want to build our life on Jesus. And so I want to suggest something to this congregation today, and even our visitors. I want to suggest something to our visitors today. Make a commitment right now to either continue doing the things that you know Jesus wants you to do, or to start doing the things that you know that Jesus wants you to do. Brethren, to this congregation, the future of the Church of Christ in Port Lavaca is contingent on 2017 and beyond. We must build the Lord's church. We must do what He says. We must go. We must make disciples. We must baptize them. We must teach them, and then observe all things whatsoever God has commanded us. That's the only hope for the congregation here in Port Lavaca. And I know of which I speak. My first congregation was in Bowling, Texas, or the first congregation where I preached full time was in Bowling, Texas. We had 58 in attendance the first Sunday I was there. They were averaging 44. I think they just wanted to see what the new kid could do. I don't know. We had 58. Then we dropped back to the 40s. Within a year, we had doubled in size. We averaged 98 members the last year that I was in Bowling, Texas. Today, there is no congregation in Bowling, Texas. When I was in Palacios, we built our congregation numbers up to over 100. We had in Palacios about what we have today. Today there's less than 20. Yes, both congregations got old. Yes, the economy slowed down. Yes, we could come up with 10,000 other excuses that the devil will give us. We just need to do what we know the Lord wants us to do. And I dedicate myself, and I want you to dedicate yourself. Recommit ourselves to serving the Lord that is coming back. We want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He also says, "Enter thou into the joys prepared for thee from the foundation of the world." That's my commitment. I hope that's our commitment. Now, there might be some here even today that need to respond to the Lord's invitation. Normally, we start with baptism and then move to repentance and restoration and prayers for strength. We begin there, though, this morning. There are so many things in this world that detract us from our religion. They detract us from our service to Jesus. If we cannot control those distractions, we need to ask God's prayers. We need to ask our brother's prayers to help us fight those things. So if you have done something that needs to be corrected, if you need prayers of strength, prayers of forgiveness, or whatever the case may be, the invitation of our Lord is for you. But the invitation is also for anyone having reached a degree of maturity. I never say age. Having reached a degree of maturity that you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he came here to die for your sins, and you're ready now to join him in baptism, to have him add your name to the Lamb's Book of Life, then the invitation is also for you. So this morning, if there is anyone who needs to respond for any reason, the song number is number 417. We're just going to sing it through once. So if you need to come, won't you do so now as we stand together and sing.